So there's power in prayer.
There is.
So it's exciting. And that's why I'm encouraging everybody, no matter how you pray, what language you want to pray in, that we pray and we pray together.
Yeah.
Because we're going to push back the powers of darkness that are seeking to influence this area, influence Doncaster, influence school. You've got school friends maybe that start to get involved in these things.
In class, I was like, can I borrow your pencil? So I was like, I'll lend it to them. And then I was like, I don't want my pencil back, thanks.
Well, don't, yeah, that's true. But don't lend them a pencil. See, I'm sorry, but you know. My eye that or pray over your pencil. Power of God. Yeah, God will work. And so you've got to remember that. Start praying, even in school. You don't have to pray out loud, in that sense, so that they can hear you. But you know, you, because you believe in Jesus and he lives in your life, you have authority.
Yeah.
That's what the Bible says. Jesus says, I give to you the authority in his name. And so you can change things. We can all change things in Jesus' name. And I know I was speaking on Sunday about the Word of God, wasn't I? And the Spirit. And that we need to have both the Word and the Spirit in our lives. It's so very, very important. The Spirit empowers us. That's what the Spirit does. The Spirit gives us power. Jesus said, tarry to the disciples, tarry, wait in Jerusalem till the Holy Spirit comes and empowers you, right? And so it's an empowering. It's not just speaking in tongues. And it's not even like at your moment, grandma shaking, you know. It's that thing, that does happen. I've seen it before many times in the past. So it's not unusual. In today's society at the moment, it might be classed as being a little bit unusual because there's not a lot of movement of spirit in churches.
True.
You know, so that's why it's classed as being, oh, it's strange that. No, it's not. When the Roman army came for Jesus to bring him before Pilate, when the soldiers came, and they said, you know, and Jesus said to him, who are you looking for? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. And he just says, that's me. He says, and they all fell back.
No.
They didn't fall back because they were shocked that Jesus had owned up to who he was.
No.
They fell back because of the power that came out of him.
Yes.
You know. So they weren't going to take him by force as they thought. You know, because there was so much power in him. If Jesus had wanted, he could have not died on the cross.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay? He could have just simply said, you're not doing it, and that's it. Because the people had tried to stone him in the Bible, and he simply walked through the crowd, and they didn't know where he was. Now that's weird, isn't it? You know, because what you have to remember, the Jews were very good at stoning people. They knew how to throw stones. And they didn't miss. Okay.
Not little ones.
And they didn't throw, you know, it weren't little stones like this. There were stones, right? And so what you have to remember is that when they're picking up stones and rocks to throw at him, he just simply walked through and they were going to push him over the edge of a cliff.
Yeah.
One time.
Yeah.
And he just walks through them. Such power. The same power that raised Christ Jesus from the dead, which is even greater than what protected him then, it says, Jesus says, that same power, the Word of God says, that same power lives in you and me.
Amen.
That is power, isn't it?
Yeah. Just power.
That's power. And so we, as a group of believers, as a body of believers, need to realise the importance, the greater importance of the Spirit and the Word together. Spirit on its own is not enough. The Word on its own is not enough. But together, they make a powerful team. And that is so important. I'll give you one more story about prayer. On a building project that I was involved in many years ago in another church, where we're going to on Sunday after church, 6 o'clock, Did you see it on Facebook?
Yeah.
Did you?
No.
Get on Facebook, everybody.
Yeah.
Great. But we were doing this extension on the side of this building that we'd put up, this big building, and we wanted a storage space. And we started to put this up, and plans had gone through with the local authorities. Everybody said, yes, it's fine, it's okay. And then suddenly, as we got building it, we got partway up, and the next door neighbour said, it's blocking me light, you can't put it up. And you're going to have to shorten it. And so planning permission came back to say, sorry, you can't carry on, you're going to have to stop. It's going to have to go through planning permission again. I said, how can it have to go through again? You've already cleared it. And so we had a church leaders meeting and went through all the conversation. And my answer was, well, all we're going to do, all we should do is pray. Well, I was overruled. I was only a young kid then, you see. I was overruled. And I was told that we were going to go around and we were going to talk to the neighbours and reason with them. You can't reason with the devil.
No.
Okay. When the devil comes against you, you can't reason with him. So I said, we're going to be wasting his time. But I know nothing. So we went and we sat and talked and we got nowhere. And so we came out, and then the next day I met the pastor in the church, our pastor. And he said, how did things get along? I said, they're not changing their mind. So I said, we need to pray. And we started to pray in tongues, and we began to pray, and we prayed for about half an hour, 45 minutes, and all of a sudden we both stopped at the same time and looked at one another and said, it's done. It's changed in the spirit realm.
Yeah.
Now we're just going to watch it happen. And a few days later, the planning office told us, carry on as you were doing, it's okay. You change things by prayer.
Yeah.
Don't change things by argument. You change things by prayer. You don't change things by reasoning. You change things by prayer.
Yeah.
It's powerful. And I don't think at times these days, I don't think churches and the body of Christ realises how powerful prayer is. I nearly said can be. I'm going to say is, because it's a definite, isn't it?
Yeah.
How powerful prayer is. It changes things. Your boy, what's changed him? Prayer. And then the word of God has come in, and the spirit has moved on him, and it's changed him. Daniel, what changed him? Praying people. Why did you people, you know, you as individuals, why did you get saved? Somebody's been praying for you most of the time. Right? That's what's changed your life. Some people come to church and they grow into faith, but in that time people are praying for them and they come to faith, and it is the power of prayer that changes things. But it's prayer that comes from the Spirit of God, that is backed by the Word of God. You know, it's not a case of praying a prayer, Lord, bless me, bless me, bless me. No, what do you want? What do you... Be specific. You know, if you're going to knock a nail in with a hammer, you bang the head of the nail, don't you? If you're going to screw a screw in, you use a screwdriver. You get the right tools for the job. And so in the same sense with prayer, we need to be specific. We need to do it right. Get the right tools and be effective in prayer. Because prayer is our weapon against the devil.
Yeah.
You see, the Bible says that you don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but you wrestle against principalities and powers in the heavenly realm. So we are wrestling in prayer, and we press in, and we see God change circumstances and situations. And it's done by prayer. Exams, when it comes to exams. You've done your studying, have you not?
Yeah.
Fine. Have you done everything that you think you can do?
Yeah.
Great.
Fantastic.
Then the only thing you do now is you pray and say, Lord, I need you, by your Holy Spirit, to, when I sit down at this exam, at this exam paper, I need you, Lord, to bring back to my memory the answers to these questions.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
Right.
Simple as that.
Yeah.
Yeah? Yeah. Lord, I was sat in an exam, university, finals. Sat there, 8 questions, 6 to answer, 3-hour exam. Yes, 3 hours. And I looked at these questions and I read them all. And it was like...
Mine's blank, everything's just gone.
Shut us down.
Yeah. Oh, it's
awful. I thought, I'm sat here. The only thing I can write, the only thing that I know...
My name.
...is my name and the date.
Oh.
And I'm blank. And I thought, I'd studied. I'd studied hard. So I thought, I can only pray. So I sat there and for 15 minutes I just sat there and prayed. Don't ask me what I prayed. I can't remember to this day. I mean, everything was like just, I'm frozen, and everybody else is busy writing.
And you're sat
and I'm
there.
Like,
yeah. Oh my dear.
What am I going to do? I'm going to fail, you know. So I'm praying, and then I started after some time of praying. I started to read the questions again, and I read them, and suddenly, ding, light came on.
Yeah.
So I started. And I answered every question that I needed to answer.
Oh, praise the Lord.
And I passed. Thank the Lord for that.
Yeah.
So, you know, prayer is what changes things, okay? You've done your bit, now you pray and just say, thank you, Lord. And, you know, and we're going to pray for a spirit of excellence so you excel at what you do. Because you're a child of God. You're special. And so we're going to pray for that as well, so... I just want to just read something that sort of complements this, and that's from John's Gospel, chapter 4. And as I say, you know, Sunday after 6 we're going to be meeting at Bentley Church, and we're joining in with them in worship and praise. And this starts, we'll start at verse 19. Jesus meets the Samaritan woman. And so this is the story, this is the actual happening of Jesus meeting the Samaritan woman. And in verse 19 it says, "The woman said to him, 'Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet.' And she said, 'Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and you people say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship.' And Jesus said to her, 'Woman, believe me, an hour is coming when neither in this mountain nor in Jerusalem shall you worship the Father. You worship that which you do not know, and we worship that which we know, for salvation is from the Jews,'" referring to the fact that Jesus was a Jew and that salvation would be brought out through Jesus Christ. Verse 23 says, "But an hour is coming, and is and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit,"
amen,
right? "In spirit and truth. For such people the Father seeks to be his worshippers." Verse 24, "God is spirit, and those who worship God must worship him in spirit and in truth."
Amen.
That is powerful. Amen. And you see, so we have to realize and remind ourselves that God is spirit. And when we worship him from our spirit. When we pray to him, we pray with our spirit. And when we're baptized in the Holy Spirit, sometimes we can pray in tongues. And we're not praying with our understanding, but we're praying with our spirit. And so when we pray, you know, there are times when we run out of words of understanding what to pray for. And then the only thing that's left to us is that we pray in the Spirit, we pray in tongues, and because we've run out of our normal, understandable words of what to pray to God about. But at the same time, when we pray, we can be in our own language, we can still be praying in the Spirit and ministering in the Spirit. Because when I bring the word, I hope that most of the time, if not all of the time, that it is anointed by the Spirit and that it touches not just your ears and your mind, but it actually touches something deeper inside and begins that process of something that changes within your life and within your heart. And I say that for every one of us.
Yeah.
Because the Word of God is not just words on a sheet of paper. It is Spirit. And the moment that we can read it within the realm of the Spirit, within the depth of the Spirit, something begins to change. Something begins to happen to us. Sometimes you can read the Bible and you can read the same chapter and you just read it. And then one day you're reading that same chapter and something jumps out at you. And it's like, it's as if you've never read it before. It's as if you've never seen it before and suddenly God shows you something special. And suddenly that's, wow, you know. There's a light of the depth and the enormity of the Spirit that is coming to you. And that's what God wants to do. And God wants to minister to you in Spirit. God is Spirit. And so we are to minister to God and through God and hear God through the realm of the Spirit. And it is so important. So we have the Spirit in our lives. When we receive Christ, we're born again of the Spirit of God. And that our spirit begins to mature and to grow and connect with God. And the Word is that which energizes the Spirit as well, you see. It feeds our spirit. The Word feeds our spirits. You see, an intellect can read the Bible and just say, well, it's just a history book. It's just fables and stories and get nothing from it. But when a believer reads the Bible, suddenly it feeds his spirit and together it creates life within them. It brings a quickening. The Bible says, there's a verse of scripture in the Bible where it says, there is life and death is in the power of the tongue. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. So what words you speak, you can speak life.
Yeah.
Or, like I was saying to you earlier, you know, I just said to the Lord, not knowingly, Lord, you're going to have to do something about that lady. I didn't tell him what to do, because I didn't know what to do. Just stop her, Lord. Stop her coming to Doncaster, I think. I said, Lord, you're going to have to do something about that lady and stop her coming to Doncaster. Well, he did. He stopped her going anywhere.
Oh, dear.
Now, some people might say, I can't believe that. Why? Choose yourself. But I'm telling you, that's what happened. Now, I'm not saying that I was the only one praying. There could have been a lot more people praying at the same time. I don't know of that, but I do know that was my prayer. And I do know that I saw some form of result which shocked me, even. So, our prayer mixed with the Word of God changes things every time. You know, when you pray for your loved ones out in Nepal, and you begin to pray for them, and you pray the Word over them, and you send the Word of God. And there's a verse of Scripture when the Lord says that His Word shall go out. He says, cast your bread upon the water. It will go out, and it will never return back void. It will always bring something back. It will bring an increase. And so as the Word of God is sent out, it will come back, always bringing an increase, always bringing a harvest. Now, in some cases, sometimes you may not see the harvest. You know, there have been situations where, I would say, for instance, with Helen, her grandmother prayed for Helen many years, but never saw, in the natural, never saw Helen really saved. But to her death, her grandmother prayed for Helen's salvation. Right? And God, those prayers are stored up, and God remembered those prayers, and God enabled those prayers to be answered, and Helen received Christ as her Lord and Saviour. So there's power in prayer, and it stacks up. It's there always. It never runs out. It won't corrupt. It won't be destroyed. That word is powerful and changes things. If you remember the story of Daniel, when he was praying, and he started to pray, and the answer, it says, was delayed 21 days.
Yeah.
Don't know if you've read that story. And it says, Michael was sent with a message for Daniel, and he said the demonic forces stood against him. But Daniel continued to pray, and Michael broke through and brought the message. So just because you don't get an answer straight away, that does not mean you're not going to get an answer. It might mean the devil is just trying to stop things. So persist in prayer, believe God, walk by faith, use the word of God, and empower the angels to bring the word of God to our lives. Because we are powerful beings. Jesus said, greater things shall you do in his name.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
So we need to mix this word with the Spirit. Our prayers need to have the word of God in them. We need to be people of the Spirit of God, and we will see things change. We will see miracles. And I must admit, there are times when we pray for things and we don't understand why the answers always don't come the way we expect or want. God's God. He knows everything. It says he knows the beginning from the end. He knows where it's all going to happen. We don't. We don't even really know. In some cases, I get up in the morning and I don't even know what's going to happen that day. So, sometimes, what chance have I got knowing tomorrow? I don't know. But when we pray and we realise that the Prince of Peace, as we pray, will see the work completed. We will see the King of Kings really causing the power of God to be released. And just rest in that knowing that God answers prayer. God answers prayer. You know, many of us, all, if not all of us, is testimony to the answer of prayer that somebody has prayed over our lives for many years and into our lives. So praise God. So God is Spirit, and we worship him in spirit. Amen. And how the Spirit moves upon us can be different. You know, I've seen people slain in the Spirit. One of you two, I think, at one time was slain in the Spirit. You know, I've seen, like, Grandma, you know, I've seen the Spirit of God resting on people and shaking under the power of the Holy Spirit. And, hey, you know, then I've seen others where they're just lost in wonder and praise because of the Spirit. I've seen others where they just can't move. In fact, one time, you remember this one, remember Tony, when we're in the church?
Yes.
He come out for prayer. I preached a good word that day, and he came out for prayer for salvation, didn't he? And I laid hands on him and prayed for him. And when I'd finished, I said to him, "You can go and sit down now." And he looked at me, didn't he? And he said, "I can't move."
Oh, bless him.
He could not move his feet.
Wow.
And he just stood there. "I can't move," he said. "I can't move." I said, "No, God's trying to get hold of you and keep you."
Yeah. It was wonderful, wasn't it?
And so there are many, you cannot sort of put God in a box and say he's going to do it this way. It'd be easy, wouldn't it? If this is how God's going to do it, you know. Really? Somebody today was saying to me, I've been praying, did you say they were praying for patience or something? Yeah, they've been praying about patience in their life and, you know, for what God's doing. I said, "Well, let me tell you this." I said, "Sometimes it can take 18 years for God to bring an answer." And he went, "What?" I said, "Yeah." And I said, "You know about this building? 18 years we've had to wait." Some folk would say, oh, forget it. It's not going to happen, don't worry. But we've believed and trusted God, and we're still going to believe and trust God to take us right through.
The thing is, as well, you could have done things into your own hands as well, and then that just gets in the way.
Well, it messes things up.
Messes it all up. If you believe in God and wait on Him, you waited 18 years.
Yeah.
That's what you had to believe, yeah. That faith, didn't you?
I mean, we did make attempts to look at other places,
yeah.
Didn't we? But we never had the release within our spirits to go for something, did we?
No.
There was always something that sort of stood there and went,
well,
stop.
Yeah.
You know, you can't go any further. You've looked,
yeah.
But that's as far as you're going.
Yeah.
And it's like, and it, that sometimes is frustrating. I don't know about, you know, but I used to find that frustrating. Remember, I used to go and chunter at God. You know, used to have a good, go and have a moan at Him. Say, you know, where is it? When is it? What is it? You know, I can't find it. And God said, you know, it's in His timing.
It's in His way.
And it's like, can't you speed it up a bit, God? No.
You're not ready for it yet.
No. And it's this resting in His presence, resting in His peace, trusting Him, believing that what He said, He will do. In His time.
That's the problem.
And to us, at the appointed time, the vision, you know, and you're like, God, can you bring the appointed time forward a little bit to the now?
We don't operate in His timing.
It's because we haven't got much time as we've got.
But we have. In truth, you know, in one sense we have. True. But in the sense that you're saying...
Not to benefit from this building.
No, to benefit from this building in the natural, we don't have that same length of time. But God knows. You know, and I said to the guy today, I said to somebody else on Facebook, they said to me, the 55 now, that was it sort of thing. I said, hang on, I said, Moses didn't get started till he was 80.
Right.
I said, last year, I said to the Lord, you know, I can retire next. I said, then he lands me a building. I said, so hey, just don't think like that. So
Churchill became Prime Minister at 65.
There you go.
Started his war campaign.
Yeah. You know, and was the kingpin that helped save this nation from disaster.
Yeah.
So, you know, you can't look at the old people and say, your time's over. Right? And you can't look at the young people and say, you've got to wait. Right? Now that seems a bit of a contradiction in terms, but you can't, because if the Spirit of God is moving on the youngest, then let God do it.
Mm.
Seriously, you know, if God's moving on you, then you need to go with it.
Samuel was only a child.
Yeah.
When you read the story of Samuel, and he started to hear the voice of God.
Yeah.
God called him. Nobody else could hear the voice of God, but this young boy began to hear the voice of God. And for the rest of his life, he heard the voice of God and was the mouthpiece of God to the Jewish nation. Wow. So, hey, when are you going to start? And I mean that in a nice way, you know what I mean? Sort of thing. So, these are the things, you see. You can't just look and say, well, you know, it's so-and-so, it's up to them, they're older than us. No, if you've spent time with God in His Word, God will start anytime you're ready. Because God wants to bless you as an individual. God wants to use you mightily in the things of God. Amen?
Amen.
So Graham is to pray for as well.
Bill.
Yeah, Bill. We're still waiting on Bill's situation, aren't we?
Somebody was asking me last night. When this heart attack came on you, did you feel you were going to die? I said, well, I've had two of these now. One of them was 16 years ago, before I became a Christian, and there's this one. First one, when I was in my early 50s, I did. I thought, this is it, end of the line. And this time, I didn't concern myself, because I handed it over to God. So, what will happen what God wants to happen, that's what's going to happen.
Yeah, exactly.
When I first went in hospital in 1999, and the doctor came in, once he had his initial laugh, because he got a sense of humour, you know, Dr. Olding, him that got killed in
yes.
Calvary. He had a sense of humour. Once he got over that, and he said, according to that machine, you died half an hour ago. Then when he got serious, he says, could you see St. Peter in the distance this morning? And apparently that helps him to diagnose. And
you know, the depth of the...
Yeah, the depth of the attack. And, you know.
Right. Interesting.
So, like I say, I was a bit more worried then than what I was this time, right? Because I know God is with me, and
yes, right.
He'll work it with me.
The verse of scripture comes to mind where Paul says, "For me to live is Christ; to die is gain." You see, this flesh may die, and we're not. You know, none of us. In one sense, none of us are planning to die soon, are we? I wouldn't.
No,
but that's okay, because you know I don't want to be, you know, having to sort of plan funerals. I'm not, you know, I really don't mind doing.
We're planning knees ups at 95 birthday parties.
Yeah. Yeah. We're planning to live. You see, that's where we're at. For me to live is Christ, and if we're living for Christ, it's fine. And all that will happen is that this physical frame will fade away, and we will just be transported into our eternal framework. And that's the way I see it. You know, it's like changing suits, in one sense. I'm not going to die, because once we know Christ, we're told we shall live forever, because we've been given eternal life. This framework may die, but me, you, you're not going to die.
No.
The you's not going to die, you see. And that is, I find that, it's amazing. But it brings such peace.
It does. My times are in God's hands.
Well, exactly. You know, you just, if we live right and do the right things in the natural for ourselves, not eat chili peppers all the time that are too hot and then give us a bad stomach, not mentioning anybody's names along the way. Comes a point, you know, when you were younger, you probably could devour chili peppers until the white coming out of your ears. But there comes a point when your life says, ooh, hang on, just cool it a bit, cool it, you know, try some yogurt.
we did a funeral a couple of weeks ago of a 19-day-old baby. So what chance has he got to accept Christ into his life and secure eternal life for himself?
The fantastic thing about that is, though, is that for every person, they have to come to a place and a point of understanding, and that's when they're judged, shall we say. So in my understanding of the word, that 19-day-old baby will be just taken into the presence of the Lord.
That
is my understanding. Right.
Yeah.
Because we accept that we're all born evil, don't we?
Yes, we do. Yeah. We do. And of course, as children, for instance, in a house that is Christian, right, then the children are covered by the parents' relationship with the Lord. But when the child gets to an age of understanding, then it's at that point the child has to make its own decision. And what is the age of understanding? That varies between each child as they mature and grow and in their understanding. So you can't nail a day on it at all. But when it comes to, for instance, a baby, it's not even spoken yet, has it?
No.
So for me, my understanding is that, you know, the mercy of God, that child, when it's born, has a spirit, right? And so when that physical frame has died, that spirit is still alive. And scripture says that Jesus went down into Hades and preached to the dead. Right, and there were folk that had never heard the gospel before, were preached the gospel, and came out of death and came into life.
Oh,
now you've not really heard that sort of teaching before, because you see, at the point, at this point, people are in Hades, they're not in hell.
What's Hades then?
It's classed as a place of waiting in one sense.
Oh, yeah.
Right, a place of holding. Because the judgment day has not yet happened. Interesting. You know, when you start to dig and go deeper into these things. For me, my worst funeral was, and I spoke about it today to somebody, was actually a stillborn child. My first funeral I had to do was for two people who were Christians but were backslid, had lost their faith in God, and I had to bury their unborn child.
Oh, dear.
And that was my first funeral that I ever did. That's the worst funeral that you can ever do. Because to bury somebody who's lived 70, 80, 90 years,
it's easy.
It's easy. But a child that's never had an opportunity. And for me, what did I do at that? At that point, during that funeral, I presented the gospel again. I said, you know, if you want to see your child, you need to take Christ into your life.
Amen.
And renew that friend, that relationship. Because you will then see that child. That's my belief. That's my understanding of things.
I think you quoted David, didn't you?
Well, yeah, David, yes, yeah, forgotten. I mean, it's such a long time ago, but David, for instance, had a child with Bathsheba, and the child died, and David mourned and mourned and mourned. But, you know, he said, I shall see him again. That's right.
He can't come back to me, but I shall go to be with him,
you see. So there is, in one sense, there is evidence, if you want, written evidence within the Word of God that is what happens. So when, you know, you can take heart in that, because God's not a heartless God.
No.
He's a merciful God. God did not build hell for mankind.
No.
That wasn't the intention. It's there for the devil and his demons. Hell's not there for you and for me, but if people choose to serve Satan, then that's their destination. But if you choose to serve God, then it's eternal life in the presence of our Heavenly Father, and it just expands and expands. I have no idea. I can't comprehend what God's plans are for the future. Because he has plans. You know, we're not all just going to sit around and just sing songs and have a good worship time. There's things in the future, in eternity, that we shall have to do. I just think it's fantastic. You know, I just think it's fantastic. So we need to pray anyway.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Have we got any more?
Any other prayer?
I like this verse. God is not a human being that he should lie, or a mortal that he should change his mind. As he promised, then will he not do it? As he spoken, and he will not fulfill it? As he blessed, and I cannot revoke it? I just look. When God says it, that settles it.
Did you tell me where it's from?
It's from Numbers. It's Numbers chapter 23, 19 through to 20. 19 and 20.